welcome to Almost Famous Minute, the podcast going over the movie by Cameron Crowe from 2000, 1 minute at a time. I'm Eric Nash. I've previously worked on Watchmen Minute, and currently coming out is Feels Like Weezer. And we have a guest for this special introductory trailer review, episode zero, and actually co-host. He will be co-hosting the first 2 weeks worth of minutes, 6 minutes, and coming back later throughout at various points throughout the movie as a co-host. Then too, we have Aaron Stark.
Hi there. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm a writer, a public speaker, and I love Almost Famous.
Yeah. I think we all love Almost Famous here. And should anyone be listening, you know, that hasn't seen the movie before, we will try to keep certain little plot points to a minimum. I mean, every now and then, I think just to kind of make a certain kind of points throughout doing this whole endeavor, we will kind of give away certain little key things that happen later in the movie, but nothing too crazy. And it is this is a movie that's based on pretty much, you know, it's got these some fictionalized elements to it, but also some taken from his own life, Cameron Crowe, with certain names changed, others not. Cameron Crowe's own name changed as the young aspiring rock critic journalist, William Miller. Cameron Crowe's a real person, a rock journalist, and then screenwriter, and then director and screenwriter, both. Aaron, you come into this with, you know, a really big love of this movie. You've seen it, I think a lot more than I have. I've seen it certainly quite a few times, but you're very familiar with this. Is that right?
Yes. I saw it when it first came out back in the day, and I've watched it probably 100 times since. I just love it. It's one of those movies I can have on the background and just watch it every day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. One little interesting thing that is right at the time of this endeavor getting on air, so to speak, in the ether of the internet, we have been approached by a rock music network of podcasts to be on with them, to join them. It's the Rock and Roll Pantheon Podcast Network.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really amazing just what's happened recently before recording this introductory type episode. And we're already quarter of the way roughly through recording for the whole movie, and editing quite a bit behind that, but to catch up at some point, that's for sure. They've reached out, and it seems like middle of this week, maybe there'll be some kind of setup happening. And so hopefully this episode actually does reach out just, you know, shortly after recording it. And we'll at that point hopefully be on the network. If I end up needing to put it up on our something I created a good month or so ago, I initially did the creation with Podbean, podcast distribution service. I did create an account for that a month or so ago, probably. So it might be on there first, very temporarily, but hopefully that works out pretty soon here. I really have to thank Christian Swain, and then also the person that came on Watchmen Minute was Andy King. Through him did I only find out about this whole network, and I've listened to some of their podcasts, that's for sure. At this point, there is the one other podcast I was listening to before they joined the network just a couple few months ago. I had started listening to them quite a few months ago now, maybe almost a year. Who Cares About the Rock Hall? I look forward to having one of the two co-hosts of that being on later in the flow of things for the minute-by-minute nature of this podcast. And then one other thing that relates to that a little bit is that I'd probably be this will probably be happening anyway, but it only kind of because of this invitation to be on the network did I kind of realize, oh, this is probably a better way to go. So I've, like I mentioned, I've recorded the first quarter roughly of the minutes episodes. But those are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday releases. That's definitely going to stay that way. There's all the talk usually at the beginning and end of those episodes, referring to what day of the week it is. So that's definitely going to stay that way. But I've reworked the schedule a bit, and I'm pretty sure I'll be moving to just a weekly basis. So it certainly does extend the life of the podcast out about a year, roughly. You know, instead of being done within a year, probably. It now seems like it'll probably take up another year after that, but that'll just make life easier for me to get these recorded and the bigger time crunch of editing too, certainly. So we can look forward to that. But right now we're just doing this, going into this episode zero, just to kind of try to get it into people's feeds and so forth via iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify and Google Play and countless other podcatchers, that's for sure. Helps doing episode zero especially for these movies by minutes type of podcast is very helpful. So we're going to continue on with this episode, I think, with a bit of a trailer breakdown. We'll go into that section now. And this is the one trailer I found that seemed to be the most closest to, I think, the way the trailer probably came out when it initially, I'm pretty sure it's what was initially seen. It's a pretty good quality, and it's the aspect ratio is pretty small. So it was definitely something that would have been TV friendly back in the year 2000.
And it definitely yeah. Seems like it's the tone of the trailer seems like it was made before the movie had come out. You know, some of the musical choices in the trailer and some of the things they emphasize seem to be different than the high points of the movie after.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if we want to get right into it, you know, this is a very music related movie, and that very initial bit of music that we hear is called Lucky Trumbull, and it's one of the Nancy Wilson composed songs. Nancy Wilson being Cameron Crowe's wife at the time, at least. I believe they're still together, but she was actually in the movie that he his first screenplay was Fast Times at Ridgemont High. She had a very small part of the woman in the convertible. I believe it was convertible. That gets the one character's attention about the middle of the movie, I believe. But so her work on, you know, she did, you know, like probably like maybe three, four, five of these, you know, lighter, airy kind of pieces, you know. But then she also worked with Peter Frampton and her husband as well to, you know, for lyrics. And then, of course, Peter Frampton and herself, of course, for the actual music composition for the band Stillwater, their songs. And this is at a scene where we don't also get in the theatrical cut of the movie, at least. It's some kind of gym in a gym, probably at the high school dance kind of scene where the height difference is very obvious. He's looking up at, you know, you get his view of looking up at these other couples dancing. And he seems to be couple-less, no date to this dance. And
that was one of the things that I was thinking of with the, where it seemed like it was made before the movie came out. Mm-hmm. Because this has a lot of emphasis, especially in this early part of the trailer, on kind of the innocence and like a fish out of water. Live yeah. for, mm-hmm. for William, and it while that does seem to play, it seems less like he's a fish out of water and more like he's just jumping into a new world. Mm-hmm. So it seems like this opening bit of the trailer seems kind of innocent and trying to play it like a farce.
Mm-hmm. And we have like kind of like the lines of dialogue that from his sister, of her talking about him being called a narc behind his back, and then to him she's saying that one day you'll be cool line.
And that's pretty much that almost encapsulates the whole movie. He just really craves to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
One day he will.
And then we hear the Who song Sparks from their album Tommy, which is a very key scene throughout the, you know, in the at the very near the beginning of the movie, when we transition from his younger self here, the younger actor Michael Angarano, to Patrick Fugit, advances his age about, I think it's 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Then we see the great Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest actors of that generation. The character of Lester Bangs is one of my favorites in the movie, honestly. I think he was one of the main things that drew me into the story, was his, mm-hmm. his outlook on the whole fame and the perils of rock culture.
And I think those two characters, his sister and Lester Bangs, have quite a, you know, bit less. They're definitely not the big stars of the movie. They don't have as many lines of dialogue as William or William's mother, nor at least the couple big members of the band, nor Penny Lane. They're on that lower tier as far as I think their dialogue, but they are very critical in this overall story. You know, of her saying one day you'll be cool, and then at the end of the trailer, I'll go ahead and spoil this little part for the end of the trailer. You know, it's Lester Bangs talking with him on the phone and saying, "You are not cool."
Yeah, there's kind of a good parallel between the mentorship mm-hmm. from Lester and the way that his mom tries to be overbearing. Like, his mom mm-hmm. is constantly looking over him and trying to protect him and trying to keep him safe, but Lester is mm-hmm. trying to bring him into being an adult in this yeah. new world and show him what life really is.
But also keeping him safe in that world, though, too.
Yeah, yeah, very, very much keeping his yeah. head straight.
Yeah, trying to get into the business.
Yeah, keep him safe while he's mm-hmm. doing it, because there's a lot of danger yeah. to fame.
And then there's the song that that's not in the movie, at least not this version. instead, it's sung and performed by some of the people in the movie, you know, real time. It's actually the one that you get to hear Jason Lee actually singing, and not having I think it's like Marty Fredrickson is the guy's name that did the singing for Jason Lee's character, Jeff Beebe. But it's actually, the song is actually, I'm much more familiar with the cover version by Tom Petty, Something in the Air. And so this original that we're hearing here, this is by the band Thunderclap Newman.
It's a band I've never heard of before.
Really? I hadn't heard of it. Okay. So the interesting thing with them is they're kind of put together, you know, not that I don't think Pete Townsend had really anything to do with their actual, you know, any kind of composition thing or anything recording in the studio, but he just kind of guided a few guys and added on, you know, helped get another band member or two, I believe, and, you know, to be in this band when one of the guys of the group, Thunderclap Newman, was kind of doing some almost roadie type stuff, kind of like driving around, helping, like being an assistant kind of to Pete or maybe some of the other members of The Who. But it's a band that got put together, and this was a big song, one of their first songs. And like I said, I'm definitely much more familiar with Tom Petty's. When I heard it in the movie, I remember thinking, "Oh my gosh, that's that Tom Petty song." But I in the back of my head, I kind of remembered that in the liner notes for it, that it said it was by someone else. But I certainly couldn't have told you back then who it was.
Yeah, and then we move into seeing the characters that will be kind of pivotal to William's future.
With Penny.
With Penny and
then the part we're talking,
the producers with Rolling Stone, where he gets the
okay,
phone
yeah.
call,
right? Yeah, that's yeah.
the one directly after Lester, and mm-hmm. yep, and how he's William is trying to I guess I shouldn't maybe not talk about that plot point, but he's jumping in a bit deeper into the water than he would think he should.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff throughout the movie that
portraying himself to be a bit
his obfuscation, his he's not the being all that truthful and
which is another one of the another theme of the movie is kind of the truth and the way that reality is kind of, that our world is kind of created by what we think. That seems to be one of the bigger themes.
Yeah, we get the does anybody remember laughter, and then the enemy. And then Penny and William talking about their ages, going down through that kind of a little bit edited in a way, so that way it speeds along and doesn't have the air to breathe, I don't think. And Lester Bangs again, you cannot make friends with rock stars. Sage advice. from a Yoda type character of Lester.
He's definitely the Yoda of the group. And it also kind of sees the shows the budding romance potentially between William and Penny, although Penny seems to be way above his pay grade.
Yeah, right. And in a very funny scene with the Firuza Balk character, Sapphire, running into the wall, telling him, "Your mom called." But that was actually, I'm pretty sure that was a cut part, though, too. She's not actually saying that when she runs into the wall. She says that earlier in the running along the side of the bus. But they edited.
That was another example of what I think the guys who made this trailer tried to make it more of a comedy,
less
of a drama, because they were really playing up that wall hit, when in the movie it's really not that played up at all. In the actual movie, it's not like a laugh out loud joke. It's like right there.
So in the background, there's been the song, the Something in the Air song has been going on throughout most of this that we've kind of been talking about here lately. But then it kind of gets, I almost want to say it's kind of a little bit of a honky-tonk piano sound.
Yeah, it's like a southern honky-tonk.
Yeah, yeah, right. But then it very clearly goes into Tiny Dancer, the huge breakout song, and it's been huge ever since for Elton John. It certainly came out back here in the early 70s when this movie set, but just the scene and has been spoofed and so forth and looked to as a great in movie diegetic bit of use of music and one that characters even sing along to. It's that much a big thing.
Yeah, it's basically it's almost the theme song of the movie.
Yeah,
like that one scene with the Tiny Dancer singing in the bus that they show a couple times in this trailer. That is the kind of the emblematic scene that they've. Whenever you see a commercial for it on TV or something, that's the one they always show.
Yeah. Oh yeah. and then there's like the "Don't take drugs" line. Rock stars are kidnapping my son. So those couple of lines that are pretty on the funny side, like you're saying, really really hyping up this idea of this isn't this movie is gonna have a lot of laughs. Well, I think it certainly has some laughs.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a comedy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it would definitely be a drama to me. It's not a comedy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a couple small funny parts to it, but you rarely get a belly laugh.
And of course, I am a golden god, and it's showing him jumping in. they're going to spoil that he actually does go through with it when it's this whole build up scene.
It seems this trailer really wanted the movie to be a comedy romance between William and Penny, with a drug kind of undertone. kind of like what's that movie that used to be? Dazed and Confused, kind of like a Dazed and Confused vibe, kind of what they were going for.
Yeah, this would be like about 5 years after that, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe not even that long.
That's the movie that this trailer seems more familiar with. It's like a Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, and I've heard that the marketing people that play a big role in creation of the trailers, previews, that they're it's so far removed from anything the director or anyone else really involved with the actual making of the movie. You know, it's that far removed.
It probably literally was someone saying, well, we need to make this more like a comedy. Mm-hmm. So we need to add more jokes because they need laughs in this trailer. Like, it's probably literally something like that. I watched a documentary on how there's actual companies that just make trailers for movies.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's such a bizarre world.
Wow. But yeah. Yeah.
And I believe that ends the trailer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and we end with a couple more lines from Lester. You made friends with them, and you are not cool, as I mentioned before. And so that's all these lines, these little parts of lines that I've mentioned. And my big takeaway is there's no, it's all happening.
Yeah.
Which is a repeated thing throughout the whole movie. And as far as doing recording just this first quarter of the movie that I talked about earlier, I'm trying to keep track. I'm going to be keeping track in the first quarter. It's like twice, I think, is all I'm at so far. Two instances of where someone, at least one person, has said it's all happening, if not two or three. But I'll be keeping track further as I go. And then there's the website at the bottom. There's the credits. You know, the all smashed together credits that you often see with trailers and on posters and so forth. But there's that website listed, that www.almost-famous.com. And I don't know, did you happen to try that out?
I did not. No, I think back in the back
some
when
kind
this
of
came
ad.
Out. Yeah, I didn't. I'm positive it would have just been an ad. That this was the days before there was any.
Well, I mean,
kind
not not
website.
An ad for, not an ad for Almost Famous. It's an ad for something else now.
That's yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, they let it lapse that domain.
But, and probably even back then, it probably was nothing more than a picture.
Oh yeah, yeah, very simple. Usually back in the day, back in the earlier days of the internet. So is there anything else you'd like to mention about the trailer here, Aaron?
I think we pretty much covered it.
Yeah. You know, I guess one thing that, I should mention is, the idea that I don't think anything happened this episode, but in subsequent episodes of this podcast, because the movie is rated R, I will not, I choose not to censor, anything anyone says, you know, besides just little things for just trying to get, episodes very listenable, and clear, you know, tried my best to have people clearly heard what their, any points they're trying to get across. I really don't, I certainly don't edit, or bleep over, bleep out, what have you. Anytime anyone uses any of the offensive words that society has deemed.
Although I think you should, if anyone ever breaks out into a Taylor Swift song, you should bleep that.
Yeah. Okay. So then I think one of the very last things I want to give thanks to Aaron, of course, definitely. You already recorded a good bit with me. I really appreciate that. But then additionally, as far as Movies by Minutes go, we have what preceded us, what I first listened to, Star Wars Minute, hosted by Alex Robinson and Pete the Retailer. Coming up here soon, probably within a week of this being released here, we have the Movies by Minutes get together, the third annual get together here in August of 2019, this time in Portland, Oregon. We had the previous two, the first one in Chicago, and last year was in Denver. I've been to all two and have my plane tickets and my accommodations all squared away for this one. And like I said, I previously did Watchmen Minute, and that was with Travis Bowe. And currently, there's still Feels Like Weezer. We've, at the time of this coming out, the Blue Album is essentially gone through. That's a podcast where we're going not minute by minute, but song by song through Weezer's catalog with Zach Fracken Smith. And we finished the Blue Album, and Pinkerton is on its way, and with guests for Pinkerton. We were guestless for Blue. And that will probably be a podcast that will probably never end until Rivers dies. And then we'll be following it for a couple more years after that, probably. Should that ever happen. Whenever that does happen. And Aaron, so any last, you know, get yourself out there, please.
Yeah. Anybody interested in hearing anything about me? I have a whole big career going now with being a public speaker. I have a TED Talk that is just about to cross 8.4 million views. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. So if you just Google the words, "I was almost a school shooter," you'll see about 30 videos of me.
That's an amazing thing you're doing. I really appreciate your efforts in getting your story out there and allowing people to learn from what you've been through yourself and try to decrease this from happening, this awfulness from happening.
Yeah, trying to do all I can to stop these kind of terrible attacks. Everybody always says thoughts and prayers. I'm just trying to do something else.
Yep. I greatly appreciate it. So this was episode 0, and we'll be back hopefully in just about a couple weeks or so. This is just a thing that we just want to try and get out there and get it into people's podcatchers. So until then, it's all happening.
It's all happening.
I am a golden god! Yeah!
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.